So thank you so much to Werribee Baptist Church for the invitation to come and speak on this very, very special day. A day of induction and of welcoming a new pastoral team member of Deanna Ritchie. And I've known Deanna for quite some period of time. And I took the opportunity to contact one of her old parishioners from many years ago. And I asked this particular person what they thought of when I mentioned the name Deanna Ritchie. I was greatly encouraged to hear the response that Kathy gave to me. Her first response was, Deanna is a quiet achiever. She has the ability to get alongside people. She cares deeply for people. She's God-focused. And she's a great team person. When I think of the characteristics that Kathy shared with me, I felt that they reflected very strongly with the person of Barnabas. When I was reading through the passage that was wonderfully read and preached by your pastor, and I'm sorry I can't compete with the shirt and the jacket that he was wearing last week, so I've done the best that I can in order to be prepared to come and be part of this season of transformation. And maybe Stan in his preaching is dressed that way to demonstrate part of his sermon of being transformed. Because normally when I've known Stan in the past, he would have been more of the suit and the tie type of guy. But maybe that takes him back to the Southern Baptist standard of where he was a number of years ago. But so I'm dressed this way a little bit more casually than I would for a Sunday, but it is a joy to be able to come and share God's word with you today. It's been interesting to get to this place. It was wonderful to be invited, but then I had to go through a process in order to get here. And one of the processes was that I needed a worker's permit in order to come into your building because I was coming in from the other side. I was coming in from outside, coming from Geelong. I had to get a worker's permit to come and work here today. So it's all been approved by the Baptist Union of Victoria, and so I'm legit today. I have evidence that I've done everything according to the law in order to be able to proclaim. Isn't it great to know that although we have to go through all these hoops, the gospel is not locked down? There are no restrictions with the good news of Jesus. And so it is a joy to be able to come and reflect upon what God's word teaches us from Acts chapter 11 and verses 19 through to 26. The same passage that was read last week. So as I ponder on this and we look particularly at the character of Barnabas, it's the life of Barnabas who was sent from Antioch, from Jerusalem church, to check them out. You see, word had got out as a result of the persecution that was happening in Jerusalem that a group of people had gone up to Antioch and started a work amongst not only the Jewish people, but also the Greeks. And so the head church or the lead church got a little bit suspicious and they pondered on, who should we send to check it out? Unfortunately, they actually sent the right person. The person who was able to connect and understand a little bit because he himself was a Cypriot. He came from Cyprus, so he wasn't from Jerusalem, but he certainly was a man who was empowered by the Spirit and was recognized. And you may recall earlier that he was actually instrumental in introducing the Saul to the church. He was, where everybody else was a scared stiff of Saul, what happens is that Barnabas comes along and introduces him and accepts him. And as a result of that acceptance, well, we have the rest of the scriptures because he was accepted by Barnabas. Barnabas was then sent from, and it's interesting when we look at this word sent, it's actually related to the word apostle, apostello. He was sent out as an apostle in one sense representing the church in Jerusalem, to go and check things out. And he is a beautiful example of what a transformed life is and the influence of what a transformed life makes in a community. We see by the way that he responds to the church, that new community that had been established by, as Pastor Stan brought out last week, the unknown people. They were unrecognized, they weren't ordained, they weren't set apart by the people in Jerusalem or anybody else. They were just so caught up with the person and work of Jesus Christ, they couldn't keep it to themselves. And as a result of not keeping it to themselves, they not only shared it with Jewish people, they shared it with the enemy, the opposition, people who were different from them. And as a result of that, we see the growth and development of the life of the church at Antioch. The church grew. And we see in this passage of scripture that Luke, the writer to Acts, gives us six characteristics that governed his life and his ministry that influenced the growth of the church. And so I want to share with you these six characteristics of a transformed life that are evidenced in the person and the ministry of Barnabas. And as you probably have been aware, Barnabas isn't his real name. His real name is actually Joseph, but he got a nickname. And his nickname was characterized because of who he was and how he lived, that he was no longer recognized as Joseph, but actually Barney. Barnabas, the son of encouragement. What a nickname. I wonder if you've got any Barneys in your congregation. Because to have a Barney in your church is not to have a fight, but actually to have someone to come alongside and see the best in you and raise you up into a welcoming community and be part of what God is actually doing so that you become better than you were before. That's what a Barnabas does. And these six characteristics, and the first one we see, comes from verse 23. It says, when he arrived as a result of being sent out from Jerusalem and he saw evidence of the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. We see that he went to Antioch aware that things were going to be different because of the rumors and the things that he was hearing back in Jerusalem, but he went with an open mind. He didn't go with a closed mind. He went with an open mind to observe and to see for himself and not just base his observations upon what other people were saying. He went with an open mind. And I wonder if you've got an open mind to what the Spirit might be doing and saying. Or have you got a fixed mind because of things that you're hearing and seeing for yourselves? We need to be like Barnabas, to have an open mind before we go into a context and before we go into a situation, to be able to observe and to be able to see so that we have complete understanding and then base our judgment from what we've experienced. The issues of the Jewish and the Gentile issues were very, very big, and they were going to continue to be very big for a long period of time. In fact, we know that as you continue to read through the book of Acts, when the Apostle Paul and Barnabas were facing opposition, most of the time it was related to the Jewish and the Gentile issues. In fact, we have in Acts chapter 15 the issue of circumcision being addressed, which is much later than what we're reading here in Acts chapter 11. So we know that there was always going to be opposition between the two groups of people. And is this a cult? Is this a new group of people that has been established? Are we losing our Jewishness? What is really happening here? But for Barnabas, he recognized that Jesus was actually forming a new community. It was neither Greek nor Jew. It was going to be different. And it's at this particular place in Antioch that, as Pastor Stan brought out, they are first called Christian. The formation of a Christian community and a Christian culture that was going to be influential to the rest of the world. That was God's plan. That my community, no, the church, the Christian community, my ecclesia, would so influence the world that it would transform the world. That was his goal. And Barnabas recognized that what was forming was not Jewish, but was Jesus. Jesus forming a community that reflected himself. Barnabas saw evidence. He saw convincing proof of the grace of God on this newly formed community of believers that consisted of both Jews and Gentiles, Jews and Greeks. And he was not going to get in the way of what God was doing. He was not going to make much about the law and the acts and the behavior that was required of the Jewish nation. He was going to make much of grace, not law. I wonder about you. Do you make much of grace? Or do you make much of law? A characteristic of this transformed life is that they were discerning and looking for evidence of the grace of God and modeling the grace of God in their lives. When we see the grace of God, we too, like Barnabas, want to rejoice. And we want to be glad, and we want to encourage the believers. We want to encourage people to remain true to the Lord and not to the law. To remain true to what God is actually doing and not prescripted law and what's got written in a book, but out of what the Spirit is doing in people's hearts. And that's why Barnabas encouraged them to remain true to the Lord with all their heart. I wonder this morning, are you modeling grace? Are you seeing grace being reflected in your own life and in the lives of your community? Then let us spur one another on. Let us encourage one another daily as we see the day approaching, as it says in the book of Hebrews. We are living in testing times, and that in these times that we need to see a greater evidence of the grace of God and not the law. Let us be Barnabases. Let us see this characteristic of grace and discernment and being able to come alongside and see the work of grace in people's lives. Wow, that's going to be amazing. Well, the second characteristic is he was described as a good man in verse 24. And we see also in Galatians chapter 5, verse 25, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. Against there is no law." It's all grace. Luke describes Barney as a good man. What does that mean? When you think in your own mind what a good man is, you might hear it being said. But immediately my mind goes to the fruit of the Spirit, because it is one of the aspects of the fruit of the Spirit that in many ways sums up all elements of the fruit of the Spirit. When I think of the comment of being good, I look at what happened to that person and to the state that he is or has been doing, and what was happening that brought out the comment that people were identifying them as, he's a good person. She's a good woman. Barnabas did not thrust his characteristic on himself. He wasn't promoting his own thing. It was thrust upon him by Luke, by others within the community. I wonder what ways are you demonstrating the characteristics of being a good person that is reflective of a transformed life? It just oozes from you all the time because of the grace of God. Well, The characteristics of a transformed life, Barnabas, he not only was discerning and a good person, he was also full of the Holy Spirit. It says in verse 24. It's interesting what Paul says about this in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. He says, "Do not get drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit." This third characteristic of a transformed life, as Luke describes of Barnabas, full of the Spirit, it's interesting that the Apostle Paul in this passage of Scripture addresses his readers not to be drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery, but to be continually being filled with the Holy Spirit. There's a contrast here with being drunk and being filled with the Holy Spirit. This is what the apostles were accused of on the day of Pentecost. Oh, they're drunk. No, we're not drunk. And it wasn't just because it was 9 o'clock in the morning. And I know that some people at 9 o'clock, particularly here in Australia, at 9 o'clock in the morning, they might be drunk. But the reality is, a person full of the Spirit, there's a similarity of what takes place. When a person drinks to intoxication, they lose all inhibitions. They take on another personality. Some are happy drunks. Some are angry drunks. And some are placid drunks. So it is with those who are filled with the Holy Spirit. We become intoxicated with Jesus. We overflow with Jesus. We overflow with the joy of the Lord, who is our strength, as it says in Nehemiah. There is a confidence and a boldness that rises up. The evidence of a person filled with the Spirit is the fruit of the Spirit. A person filled with the Spirit reflects the very nature and the very character of Jesus. You may have heard people, "Yes, I've been baptized in the Spirit. Yes, I'm filled with the Spirit." And yet their personality and their character demonstrates a different spirit, an angry spirit, a bitter spirit, a revengeful spirit. And you're thinking, that doesn't look anything like Jesus. Well, Barnabas reflected the character of Jesus, so much so that he was identified as being filled with the Spirit. The flesh becomes less and the Spirit becomes more. As it says with John, he must become more and I must become less. Less of me, more of him. Is your life reflecting a full life of the Holy Spirit? Or is it full of something else? You know, when I used to work at General Motors back in the early 1970s, there was a comment that was made, "Oh, he's full of," and I can't say it on screen, but you would know what some of these people would say he's full of. Others would say he's full of himself. He's full of anger. He's full of self. He's full of hatred. He's full of sadness. What about you? Is the evidence of Jesus not just on your lips, but in your life, being lived out to the full? The people know that you're full of the Spirit because they see it evidenced in your life. Well, that's my prayer, that the evidence would be there, because that is the evidence of a person full of the Spirit. That is the evidence of a transformed life. Well, as we go on, we come to this next aspect of he's not only a person full of the Spirit, but he's a person of faith. It says in verse 24, he was full of faith. Now, and Hebrews chapter 11 says, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." This fourth characteristic of a transformed life is displayed by Barnabas of full faith. The writer of Hebrews described faith as being sure of being confident, of being positive about things hoped for and certain and unshakable about we do not see physically. It's all based on a promise. And in this case, it is taking God at his word. It is believing God and responding to God, doing what God says. The writer of Hebrews chapter 11 gives a list of people who lived by faith. They heard God speak and they did what God asked. Noah built an ark. Abraham left his country. Gideon slayed an army of thousands with only 300 people. Moses led out a nation of the nation of Israel from Egypt, where they had been in slavery. David killed Goliath. Joshua walked around the walls of Jericho. Can you imagine that? What faith it would have been to walk around the walls of Jericho believing that the walls were going to fall down. They just don't fall down like that. But God said it would, and it did, because he obeyed. And you only get the benefits as a result of obedience. That's what faith is. There may be people you know who are living by faith. They just hear God and do exactly what he tells them. A verse of scripture that has regularly come to mind for me is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. Wow. Can I trust him? Yes, I can. I wonder this morning, are you living your life by faith or by sight? In the midst of this crazy situation that you and I are facing at this point in time, many of us are struggling with what's going on. But the question we need to ask is, what is God saying? Where is God in the midst of this COVID situation? Because he's called us to live by faith. And I think so often we've lost sight of that and we've set up our own little kingdoms and we've set our own plans and we've set our, and God is taking a lot of that stuff away and he says, will you trust me? Will you hold on to me? Will you have confidence that I will work it out for you? Because that's what he wants to do. He wants to do it in you and he wants to do it through you. Because faith is a characteristic of a transformed life, believing and trusting God. It's time, church, to get serious about the faith that we talk about and start really living it for God's kingdom. The next description that we see here that Luke gives us, and it's not stated this way, but it's Barnabas is a person who's invested in kingdom growth. It says in verse 24d, and most of this is coming from verse 24, it says, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. This fifth characteristic of a transformed life is being invested into kingdom growth. Barnabas demonstrated this by investing himself into what he could see was happening at the church in Antioch. And as he did, the church continued to grow. He invested himself. He didn't take over. He left that to those that were responsible. But he began to look for ways by which he could invest into what God was doing in and through the church. And as a result of doing that, the church grew. Jesus, when he teaches his disciples to pray, instructs them with these words, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is being done in heaven. In the garden, when he was praying, he said, not my will, but your will be done. You see, it's all about the Father. It's all about the Father's will and joining with him in his purposes. As we do this, we see his kingdom grow. His reign on earth is being extended. Life is full of distractions. And Jesus knew this when he spoke about, do not be worried about life, what you'll eat, or what you will drink, or about food and clothing, what you will wear. Jesus understood the anxiety and the worries of life. And so therefore, he speaks into your context and my context and the worries that you and I are facing right now. And in the midst of this, he tells us this thing. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things, the food, the clothing, the drink, everything else, I will provide. That's our God. Put God's kingdom first before your own kingdom. Invest into what God is doing, and it is amazing what you will see happen. Kingdom growth. I wonder this morning, what are you investing into? Is it yourself, your houses, your work, or is it the kingdom of God? A characteristic of a transformed life is investing into the kingdom, which will bring about growth both for the church and in yourselves. We do this by serving and financially investing into his church and into his kingdom work. Are you investing your time? Are you investing your finances? As you see the work that is going on in and through Werribee Baptist Church, and you see the development of the team that is growing for kingdom growth, are you investing into it? Or are you holding back? It's time, church. It's time to be investing into what God is up to at Werribee for such a time as this. Well, this final characteristic of a transformed life is that Barney was a team person. It says in verse 24, then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he found him, brought him back to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barney and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers. This sixth characteristic of a transformed life is being a team person. When we look at Barnabas, who, like my mother, it wasn't about him. When he arrived in Antioch, he did not come to take over the church. He came to join in what God was doing and partner with those that were already involved. He didn't come to tell them what to do. He came to complement what was already happening. And that's what's taking place today in the life of Werribee. As you extend your team, it's partnering together in seeing God's kingdom come and his will being done so that others may come and experience the fullness of who God is. As Barnabas looked around and got involved, he recognized that the church needed someone else to join them, to complement what was already there. There was an element or there was an aspect that seemed to be missing in the life of the church that not even Barnabas was able to invest into as such. And immediately he thought of, I know who it is. I know who can complement the work that's going on in here. I know that the story of the person who I have in mind has the skill set and the ability to be able to marry the Gentiles and the Jews together. He's able to address the issues, and he's the type of person that Antioch needs right now. And so what he does is he leaves the church. He leaves Antioch, and he goes in search of Saul, who now is in Tarsus. And he leaves Antioch in the hands of God, and he leaves Antioch in the hands of the fellow believers who'd already established the church that was there, trusting that God would lead him to Saul, because he knew what he was looking for. In finding Saul, who had been now a follower of Jesus for around about 13 years, Saul immediately leaves Tarsus. Saul immediately leaves the area where he had been investing into. And we don't know too much about what was happening, but we know that he was a tent maker, and we know that he was investing and would have been doing something in that particular area. But he immediately leaves. It's like Matthew immediately leaves the tax collector's booth. The apostle Peter and John leave the nets and immediately follow Jesus. Well, like them, Saul immediately leaves Tarsus. He leaves home and he goes with Barnabas to this new situation that he was about to enter into. He comes to Antioch, and together with others, they invest into and teaching and preaching. The result of this great teamwork was that the church grew in great numbers. Later on, we know that it is from this church a great mission work begins with both Barnabas and Saul, where in the next chapter we see that it says, the Spirit says, set apart for me, Saul and Barnabas for the work to which I have prepared for them. What is God preparing at Werribee at this particular point in time? That he's bringing people in and joining together in the great work that is going on that you are part of. You who are watching are part of the, and don't be an observer. Be a participant. Be a partner in what God is actually doing. The result of this great teamwork is that the church will grow. Today, Deanna is joining the team. And later, Enoki will join the team to invest in the kingdom work here at Werribee. But it's not about them. It's not about them at all. It's about God and the great team he is building here at Werribee and the great work that he has in store and the great thing that he's preparing. He already knows. And as you cooperate and participate with him and get involved in this process, you will see this church grow and develop to become everything God intends it to be. That's what it means to be transformed. Are you a team player? Or is it all about you? A transformed life is demonstrated by being a team player. So let's all get in. Let's all play our part so that God gets all the glory and his church grows and the community around is transformed. May these godly characteristics of a transformed life be revealed in and through you, so that God will cause great numbers to be drawn to Jesus and grow his church. It's a new season, church. Let this new season be a season of great favor. But that great favor is only brought upon through transformed lives. May God bless you as you enter into this new season and you embrace Deanna as an associate pastor, and keep in mind and pray for God to pour out his blessing. May this be a word for you today. Amen.